creation.
Part of the community.
The next idea.
It doesn't always look like the dots connect, but they do.
This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. You might not be aware of this, but Michigan State University is involved in trying to conserve wildlife in Africa. As part of that, there are efforts to work with African students and researchers. That avoids an all-too-frequent approach that has American researchers coming in to solve an environmental problem when they don't even understand the people and their needs. For this next idea segment, we're going to talk about one example of that. Joining me are Robert Montgomery, an assistant professor with the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources at MSU, and Tutilo Mudumba, an MSU graduate student from Uganda. Robert, let's start with you. Catching wildlife with wire snares is a big problem in much of Africa. You're working in East Africa. Tell me, who are setting the snares and what animals are they trying to take down?
Yeah, the wire snaring is a very interesting story. Wires are harvested from the internal skeletons of radial tires. And so these are tires that you can find on the side of a roadside. And developing nations, East Africa, has tons of them sitting on the roadside. People find them, they burn them down to reveal the wire that's within. And then they take these into the field and lay them upon game trails, which are indiscriminate. And they're just as common to capture a lion as they are the intended target, which is antelope.
Right. We've heard of poachers for rhinos and elephants in some parts of Africa. But this is local people simply trying to feed themselves and sometimes inadvertently killing these bigger animals, right? So what can be done about that?
Really, this problem is an example of human livelihood tightly tied with wildlife conservation. And so to understand the problem, you have to engage with it. This is a case where people will put hundreds of wires into a canoe and row up the River Nile. If the boat tips, then they'll be eaten by crocodiles or hippos. If they actually make it to shore, then they can be trampled by elephants or buffalo. They can be predated upon by lions or leopards or hyena, or they can be shot by national park rangers. All of this so that they can get a product, which once they get it back to the market is worth approximately one-third the price of beef. When we understand the person that's willing to engage in this type of risky activity for such little reward, we know that it's really a human livelihood issue. It's perpetrated by predominantly men who don't have access to additional opportunities for a better livelihood.
Tutilo, you're working with young people to use this wire in another way. What's your project doing?
We realize that the most vulnerable group of people most likely to be sucked into poaching were about 11-year-olds. So these are people transitioning from primary school to secondary school. So what we are doing is we're offering them this new alternative livelihood. We gather the wires from the national park. There's no way we can deal with big heaps of wires that we are getting. So we pass them on to these little boys to make crafts. And so we are making arts for the market, generating money for them, but at the same time also conserving wildlife in the national park.
So you're taking this wire and you're sculpting it into toys that they can sell. Has there been a good response to that?
Yes, at the moment, we are just at the start of transitioning from making just traditional toys, so these are little cars, into making actual animal-like crafts. So you find the boys practicing on how to make a lion out of disused wires. And the point of doing this is to target the more rich visitors coming to the national park. So instead of making buses, which somebody from maybe a Western origin or Western tourist would want, or would not be more willing to buy, we are making them crafts of the very animals that the wires would have killed.
Do the tourists understand that this wire could have been used as snares and they're actually contributing to conserving the area?
That's the point of putting the message out here to everybody in the Western world. It's not gained a lot of attention at the moment. Locally, everybody knows the source of the wires, but people driving around the national park even hardly visit the Pakwach area where the Pakwach boys are operating. So by coming onto Michigan Radio, we are sharing the story with everybody else so that they can understand that just by buying or being involved in the snares to wares, they are contributing directly to the conservation of wildlife in Murchison Falls National Park.
And so this might help keep some of these young men from becoming poachers? I mean, how can you stop people who are poor, desperate, and hungry from trying to snare an antelope for food?
Yes, by just providing an alternative livelihood.
They'll make enough money to buy their meat rather than get it out of the bush.
Yes, and it's not just the protein they are seeking. They are seeking game meat to survive. They don't have any other sources of food. The area around Mashon Falls National Park is not producing a lot of food out of the ground, just like we have the rich soils of Michigan State here. So a survival issue, it's a livelihood issue. It's giving them an opportunity to put other basic needs such as medication from the money that is generated out of selling the crafts. So it's much bigger than just food. It's been into health. It's about providing money for education and other basic necessities.
Now, this is just one activity. Robert, what else is Michigan State University doing with wildlife conservation in Africa?
I'm the director of the RECAP Laboratory, which conducts research on the ecology of carnivores and their prey. And what we try to do is understand the consequences of predator-prey interactions for the landscapes where these animals reside and for the human communities which share these landscapes. And so our laboratory is focused on confronting two grand challenges for wildlife conservation in the 21st century. The first one is to stop the precipitous decline of wildlife. We have dramatic losses in East Africa in the wildlife species that live there. In the last 15 years, we've lost 40% of giraffe populations. In the last 6 years, we've lost 50% of elephant populations.
Wow.
We've had tenfold reduction in lions. We have less than 25,000 lions left in the world, almost all of them. Huge populations are in East Africa. And so if we don't begin to address these problems, then we're actually going to lose these species from the wild.
How important is it that MSU recruits students and researchers from Africa in the effort to conserve wildlife?
Yeah, and that's the second grand challenge that we have, which is training students from underrepresented backgrounds so that the future of wildlife conservation leadership can be a more diverse one. And sticking with this idea of what we can contribute to East Africa, despite the fact that East Africa is a relative utopia for wildlife, and if you ask a citizen in the state of Michigan, talk to me about wildlife, within the first few minutes of that conversation, it is going to shift to a discussion of East Africa, wide open plains, lions hunting, wildebeest, grand migrations. Despite the fact that this is all our conception, East Africa does not have a single university which can train its students to PhD level in wildlife conservation. This should be a really staggering thing to the public to understand that there are no opportunities for terminal degree training in East Africa in wildlife conservation. So we have dramatic wildlife conservation needs, and in East Africa we really struggle to find the people that are trained to deal with them. And so what happens is lots of the people that are making decisions in East Africa are Westerners. There are East Africans that have been trained in the West, which means that they've needed to leave their homes, much like Tutilo has, in order to seek that terminal degree training, or they're under-credentialed Africans. All of those issues create problems for wildlife conservation leadership. And so we're really focused on addressing this problem in a couple of different ways. So the first way that we're addressing this particular problem is we're collaborating with really progressive foundations to train students from East Africa at Michigan State University. And some of these institutions and foundations are the MasterCard Foundation, which has generously funded students from sub-Saharan Africa to be agents of change on the African continent. The other thing that we're doing is we're actually helping a university in East Africa, Makerere University in Uganda, which is a premier research institution, a fantastic institute of higher education for many years in East Africa. We are helping them to develop a PhD level training program in wildlife conservation. This has been a fantastic example of collaboration because the programs there at Makerere are fantastic, and yet the only thing that's missing is this PhD level program. So they've embraced us with open arms, and we're part of a long-term collaboration to have this center of excellence at Makerere with support from Michigan State University.
Robert Montgomery is an assistant professor, and Tutilo Madumba is a graduate student at Michigan State University, talking about conservation efforts for wildlife in Africa. Thank you very much, both of you, for talking with me.
Thank you, Lester.
Thank you for hosting us, Lester.
Support for the next idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.